And we want to bring one of our featured speakers up here to talk to you. And then we're going to have an intermission. We want to talk about her for just a moment because we think it's very important that we understand what this sister has lived through. And she's I've had the privilege of spending time with her, and she's a very humble sister. But I don't know if we really think about how difficult it is to be someone like Ramona Africa from the standpoint of what she has been through and how courageous she is. And as a very young man, when I first got into this movement, the first thing that we had to do was read about the MOVE organization, because we have a study group and we have to read about what's going on in the world. And we had to read about it. So I knew about Sister Ramona Africa, Sister Pam Africa, long before I met them, and did a number of events talking about MOVE long before I met them. It is amazing what this sister has lived through. It is amazing what she has seen. Can you imagine being in a building that's burning around, your loved ones being taken? Can you all imagine that? That's what this government does. I don't want any part of this government. That's what this government is about when you stand up and fight for justice. That's what it does to you. And this sister, still look at her, strong, bright, vibrant, still here, still fighting, still courageous, still courageous. Many of us, if we went through what she went through, we would have gave up. We would have been recording CDs or something. We would have been writing cookbooks or something. We would have been doing those sort of things instead of still engaged in this struggle that she's engaged in. So we don't want to make her an icon, because she's a living, breathing human being. And we want to understand that we can make a contribution too, because sometimes we get, well, I'm not Ramona Africa, so I can't do anything. No. Everybody in here has a talent and skill, and we got to use it. If you're not using it, that's what we're missing. That's why we ain't free. So we need you to do that. So let's give a warm, beautiful, loving, comradeship, sisterly, brotherly, warm round of applause for our sister who's traveled out here to talk to us. A sister, a believer in the teachings of John Africa, whether you agree with it or not. You have to respect the courage to stand on principle, right? Because many of us, when it comes time to pay that bill, our principles go out the window, right? You know it's right. So we got to respect that. So let's give a warm round. Let's stand up if we can and give respect to Sister Ramona Africa.
Okay, thanks. You know, one thing that the MOVE organization has learned through experience is that fighting and standing up for yourself is not an option. I do what I do because there's nothing else to do. You know, when you talk about what I've been through, the May 13th bombing, the jailings I've been through even before that, you know, what my sisters and brothers have been through and are still going through, these things don't deter the MOVE organization, doesn't make us want to submit and assimilate back into the system that's doing this to us. It makes us know very clearly that we have no choice but to keep fighting if we ever intend to put an end to this. So that's really the bottom line. I mean, I know I didn't survive the May 13th, 1985 bombing of my family for nothing. I mean, apparently I still have work to do, and I'm committed to doing that work. But the real issue here is not so much what MOVE people have been through, that MOVE people are still in jail. That's not really the issue. The issue is that nobody has ever, will ever benefit from this system as we know it. I mean, from the very inception of this system, from the time humans left natural law, living in harmony with nature, and began on this road to creating political systems, creating technologies, and moving away from life, everything has gone downhill. Since the invention of politics and electing people to represent us, you know. Have things gotten better or have things gotten progressively worse? This is the year 2009. Have things gotten better for us in the last 100 years or have they gotten steadily worse? Now, obviously, they have gotten worse. What John Africa have taught MOVE is to don't just sit back and accept that and act like we're not seeing this. Don't hallucinate that we can get a certain type of job, make a certain amount of money, get a certain type of education, elect a certain kind of person to office, and then things will suddenly, you know, get better and everything will be all right. I mean, we've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of this, different type of people in offices, different degrees, different types of jobs, and I mean, the whole gamut. But nothing has gotten better for us. We got to stop banging our head against a brick wall and accept that this system is not working for us as we know it. Now, anytime you are living in a society where babies are getting raped and murdered, where teenagers get pregnant and see it as such a tragedy to have a baby that they will go to their prom, give birth to the baby, put it in a plastic bag and leave it as trash. Anytime you have 9-year-old little boys who will entice their little 5-year-old sister into a vacant building where his friends are so that they can take turns raping her, something is wrong here. Something is definitely wrong. And we don't have to look any further than ourselves and the society that we're living in. I mean, my young sisters and brothers pointed out something to me. They said on the news when Clinton was in office, when Columbine happened, you know, that school out in Colorado, Littleton, Colorado, when those kids had planned to shoot and kill and bomb and all that stuff in their school, Bill Clinton got on the news and was saying how horrified he was and that we have to teach our children to resolve conflict by means other than violence. But the next item on the news was Bill Clinton okaying the dropping of bombs and killing of children in Kosovo. You know? The next item on the news after that is cops shooting people 50 times. So what message are we sending? What influence are we influencing our children with? You know, no wonder the world we live in has gotten progressively worse, and it will continue to get worse until we take a stand here. Now, when people think about the May 13th bombing of MOVE, and before that in 78, the vicious police attack on MOVE. Why? Why did that happen? I mean, the government used the media to tell the public, oh, well, you know, these are just these loudmouth people that just holler, scream, curse. They're dirty, filthy people. You know, they don't care about nothing. They don't even comb their hair. You know, we had to do something about these people. Since when did the government start caring about dirty, nasty people that cuss? I mean, when has that been a major issue that warranted hundreds of cops coming out to your home and trying to kill you? Since when did that warrant being bombed and burned alive? Had nothing to do with that because they know MOVE people are not nasty, dirty people that just cuss. If all we were doing was cussing people out, they wouldn't have a problem with us. But they know what John Africa have taught MOVE people. And they know that they don't want that message getting out there and influencing people. And not only the message, but the activity. Because you see, the MOVE organization, we didn't just talk. We put out information to people, but we demonstrated our belief across the board. We had long sustained demonstrations at the zoo, at the circus, at Furriers, you know, in defense of animal life. All right. We had long sustained demonstrations at unsafe boarding homes for the elderly, where elderly people were having their social security checks all but stolen from them, where they were living in group homes that were nothing but fire traps and people were dying. We had long sustained demonstrations at, meetings of Dow Chemical and DuPont Chemicals, because they were poisoning our water, our air, the earth that feeds us. And we would not stop. You know, we put out information about what was going on and encouraged people to take a stand. Don't just act like it wasn't happening. And we took stands. We confronted these people to set the example. MOVE people would get beat up, locked up, and when we went before these judges, they didn't want to hear anything we had to say. They just sided with the cops, you know, with the lies that they told. But that didn't stop us. When those judges would treat us unjustly, you know, sentence us to jail knowing that we're innocent, we would find out where it lives, and we went to their houses. We demonstrated in front of their houses. We didn't just stop at City Hall. We would demonstrate at City Hall. But when they got outrageous, we found out where they lived, and we went to their homes, and that had never been done. I mean, you don't go to a judge's home and demonstrate. We let his neighbors know what the hell those judges was doing down there in City Hall, and they were outraged. They were outraged. And, yeah, they came at us. They kept coming at us, and we just kept coming back, because one thing the MOVE organization understands, you're not safe. You are not securing yourself by being quiet, by throwing your hands up, by just going along with the program. You are not secure. The only thing that secures you is getting rid of what's threatening you. That's the only thing that will secure you. And that is why MOVE people keep fighting. We don't care how many years we have to spend in jail. We don't care how many cops, judges, guns, bullets, bombs, prosecuting attorneys that they have, prison guards and prisons that they have. The only thing that's important is to keep fighting. Never give up. That's the only thing that's important, because one thing, the main thing that these officials bank on and rely on is that people will flare up for an instant, and then they'll fizzle out and move on to another issue or just get tired and give up. They bank on that. Consistency is something they can't deal with, because consistency is strength. It's strength. It's the winner, the keeper. And that is what John Africa have put into MOVE. The understanding that as long as you keep fighting, you are victorious. That is the victory. The only time you are defeated is when you throw your hands up. No matter what situation you're in, what conditions you're faced with, as long as you keep fighting and maintain your stand, you are victorious. And that's something this system cannot deal with, which is why they have come at MOVE the way they have. You know, people look at MOVE and they hear the information. They're like, well, what's wrong with that? You know, what's wrong with what you're saying? Why would the government feel so threatened by you and come at you like that? That's because they understand what MOVE is doing here. the example that we're setting. They thought May 13th would be the end of MOVE, you know? And I mean, it hurt us. I mean, we lost family, lost babies, you know? Of course that hurt us. We're not robots. We're alive. We have feelings. We can be hurt, but we won't be stopped. And when they saw that after May 13th, what we have went through, that we are still committed, because after May 13th, people were in jail. I was in jail. And as we came up for parole, the parole board, you know, was used to test us. Well, Ramona, you know, everything looks good here. We think that, you know, you're a good candidate for parole. We don't have any problem paroling you. There's just one stipulation. In order to be paroled, you have to agree to sever all ties with the MOVE organization. You can have no contact with any MOVE person. Now, I think they knew better, but of course they got to try. They have to test you. So when they came with that stipulation, I told them what they could do with it. And instead of staying in jail 16 months, I was in jail for 7 years. But none of my family members, no matter what their sentence was, 6 to 12 years, 2.5 to 7 years, what did Carlos have, 7 to 15, something like that, not one of us accepted that stipulation. So they knew, even after May 13th and what they did, that we weren't giving in, that we wasn't giving in to them, you know? And the rewards of consistency and remaining strong is that this government, yeah, they want to kill us. They want to get rid of us. They don't like us, but they don't mess with us either like they did years ago. You know, they may try little things here and there, but they do not mess with us like they did before. And we got an example when one of our young brothers at the Republican National Convention was snatched up by the cops. He wasn't doing anything except loading the sound equipment from our demonstration into the van. The cops snatched him up, and people told us, came running over to us and told us, and MOVE people and some supporters went over to the van that they had put him in, and we stood in front of it and let them know they weren't going nowhere with our brother. Let them know we wanted to talk to this captain that, you know, always came out to our demonstrations. He's one of them plainclothes diplomatic cops. And we told them to get him over there. When he came, we told him, look, they got our brother Mike in that truck. They, you know, took him into custody. And the cops said, well, what happened? What did he do? We said, he didn't do anything. We want him back. We want our brother out of this truck now, or you got a problem on your hands. He went and talked to the commissioner, came back within a very few minutes. They opened that van and let our brother out, unhandcuffed him, and let him go. Mike is the only person out of thousands that was arrested in Philadelphia during that Republican National Convention a few years back that they released like that. They didn't do that because they're scared of Ramona Africa or Pam Africa or any of our supporters or other MOVE people that was out there. It's not why they did that. They did it because of the strong, consistent example that MOVE people have set, you know, when it comes to this system. When we told them, we want our brother out of here or you got a problem on your hands, they believed it. They believed it because they know we don't play no games like that. And that comes from that hard work. All those beatings we took in the early days of MOVE, all the jail sentences that we took in the early days of MOVE, and that consistent hard work just keep coming back, maintaining our position. You know, so it is rewarding. It pays off. And like I said, that's why they don't mess with us like they did in the early days, because John Africa made a believer out of them, you know? In the beginning, the head of the civil affairs unit of the police department said, oh, I give them 5 years and then, you know, they'll be gone just like all the rest of them. Well, he's gone. He done passed away and we still here 35 years later, you know. So you got to be serious. Got to be serious. Got to be committed to what you're doing. You can't play no games. Right now, we have innocent MOVE people in prison from 1978. They each got 30-year minimums, 100-year maximum sentences for a murder they didn't commit, that the government knows they didn't commit. They came up for parole last year, 30 years. Their 30-year minimum was last year. They saw the parole board in April and May, and they were given a year's hit. So they will be seeing the parole board again this April and May. And we intend to put the pressure of life on them to release our family, who never belonged in prison in the first place, you know. So that's our priority right now. They can't give us back our family that was murdered in 1985. I mean, they can't bring them back, okay? But they can give us back our family that have sat in prison unjustly all of these years, going on 31 years now. I mean, it is outrageous. You know, one thing that we have to learn to do is to not look at things from the reference of the system. Now, I can tell you that my family is innocent. They didn't murder anybody. They didn't murder that cop. They didn't murder anybody. But at this point, my position is, what's your point in asking me, are they guilty or not? Did they kill anybody or not? I mean, that's not why they're in jail. And we should all be clear on that. Mumia is not in jail for the accusation of murder. I don't care what happened on the night of December 9th. You know, how many of these cops that shoot people 41 times, 50 times, 80 times, you know, that sat on Johnny Gamage's chest and caused him to die in Pittsburgh, and all of the hundreds of examples across this country, including right here in Portland, I'm sure. How many of those cops or rich people are sitting in prison or on death row for the accusation of murder? Well, if murder is the issue, if these officials are so appalled and against murder, how come that doesn't apply across the board? You know, they're tricking people. MOVE is not saying that we endorse murder. What we're saying is that this system does. Because otherwise, why would they send young men and women over to kill, to murder, and come down on them, penalize them, if they refuse to do it? Now, how is that possible if they're against murder? You know, John DuPont, who killed that Olympic wrestler, he ain't sitting on death row like Mumia. You know? Stop letting these people trick us. You know? And making us feel that, well, you know, so-and-so did this. He committed that crime, so he has to do the time. I mean, you know, he shouldn't have did it. No. If he did something wrong or she did something wrong, no, she shouldn't have done it. But that's not why they're in prison. It's not why they're sitting in jail, you know? I mean, nobody is going to get in my face and convince me that Mumia or my family or Leonard Peltier or Marilyn Buck or any of the Puerto Rican independentistas belong in prison, that they're justified for putting them in prison. I don't even want to hear no details about what happened. I mean, I don't care what happened on the Pine Ridge Reservation. No way in the world are these idiots going to get in my face and convince me that Leonard, you know, a native of this country, is a murderer and belongs in prison. The same people who are descendants of those who slaughtered Leonard's people into virtual extinction, the same people that sanction and endorse these cops shooting people down, you know, 50, 100. I mean, how do you justify shooting at somebody 50 times? One person. If you are a cop, a trained cop, and it's one person, if you cannot subdue one person and take them into custody without shooting them 50 times, then the person that you're taking into custody ain't in question. You are. You are. And that's what people need to look at when they talk about, oh, you know, this person, we had to take him into custody. He looks suspicious, or he did this, that, and the other. Look, I don't even want to hear that. I don't even want to hear that. What kind of training did you have that you had to shoot at this person 41 times like they did Amadou Diallo, you know, or Sean Bell, you know? I mean, that's what I want to know. That's where my question is, not what that person did, you know, because if you were going to arrest them, that's one thing. But to kill them, you know, shoot at them all these times, I mean, there is just no accepting that. And this is the attitude that people should have. We're not looking for no explanations, no justifications, because there is none. There is none. And that's where we need to be coming from. We cannot afford to allow our enemy to shape how we think and what we accept. You know, I mean, I give this example all the time. Could black South Africans look to the apartheid regime to lay out for them the way to end apartheid? I mean, would that ever happen? No, of course not. Would African slaves look to and depend on the plantation owners to lay out for them the way to end slavery? I mean, would they ever do that? Were plantation owners going to pass laws and, you know, arrange for slaves to have authority and do what's necessary to end slavery? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, you know? Just like Jews. I mean, could they look to Hitler's regime for the means to end the Holocaust? Of course not. So why would we, in 2009, think that we could look to anything in this system to end this insanity? It's not going to happen. It has to come from us. There is no savior or no organization out there, Obama or otherwise, that is our savior. There is no savior. We are our savior. You know, ain't no getting around it. It ain't somebody that you can hire or elect or select to clean this mess up. It ain't gonna happen. It has to come from us. And we are so used to having somebody else, paying somebody else, electing somebody else, looking to somebody else to do our work for us, that we think we can apply it to our freedom, to our condition. And it don't work like that. This is work we have to do ourselves. Because if we don't do it, it ain't getting done. Because there is nobody in this system that is committed to making things right, to giving people their freedom, you know, equality, making sure that everybody has food, you know, that children are taken care of. There is nobody out there in the system that is committed to that. People may believe in it and want to work to make things happen, but the instant they're threatened, their job, their money, you know, whatever, hey, they ain't going to give it up for us. You know, I was in jail. I saw prison guards get hired, saw the new recruits coming in. And they weren't all just like racist and nasty and mean and all of that. Some of them that came through there really thought, you know, they were just there to do a job, you know, to help the women there if they could, you know, do their little job. And they weren't mean or nasty or anything. But they soon learned that the things they thought they could do, they couldn't. Because they'd be called on it. And they'd be told, look, what do you think this is? You know, we don't go out of our way, you know, to do anything for these prisoners. They are here to be contained, and that's it, you know. And some of them would be really messed up at first. They'd be like, but, you know, all this inmate needs to do is go over to the law library and, you know, whatever. They would get messed up. Some of them would leave. They couldn't take it. They would, you know, leave the job. And other ones just sucked it up and went along with the program. But they didn't all start out that way. That's my point. So what I'm telling you is whether somebody has a good heart and wants to make changes, wants to do things or not, don't matter. They are not allowed. There are no good cops. There are no good politicians. They're not allowed to be. Because when all of this crazy stuff happens, for example, with cops, where are all the good cops? Where are they? When they dropped that bomb on me and my family, burning babies alive, where was all the good cops? When Abner Louima was being sodomized, when Amadou Diallo was being murdered, you know, when Sean Bell was being murdered, where was all the good cops? Where were they? You know? They are not allowed to be. They are not allowed to be. After the bombing of my family, there was a cop who told the truth about, you know, what he heard and saw. He was told to take notes out there, you know, the day after May 13th, and he took notes and noted that a sergeant said, told the people operating them big machines, whatever they're called, that was like digging up the ground looking for bodies, dig over there. I took one down over there. I took a move member down over there, dig over there. And all he did was made a note of it. And when his notes went to the commission that they had set up to investigate it and the grand juries, he was willing to, you know, come forward and say, yes, those are my notes. That's what I heard. This is what I noted. His brother cops went crazy. They went crazy. They start threatening him and his family, setting up M80 firecrackers in his office that went off and caused him to go deaf in one ear. I mean, they just did everything to that man to push him off the police force. And he finally did retire with psychiatric disability. All because he was willing to tell the truth. So they don't allow you to be a so-called good cop or even a good politician. I mean, they don't allow it. I mean, you know, black people think that, you know, if we just select a certain kind of person, or we need more blacks, more women, more Latinos in office. Don't matter. And the perfect example is when the state troopers in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and New York, I think it was, went crazy and was trying to push Castro to extradite Assata Shakur back here. Well, Congress introduced a resolution asking Castro to extradite her back here. Know who signed it? Bobby Rush, Maxine Waters. Bobby Rush is a former Panther. Former Panther. And when confronted about how they could sign us, him or Maxine Waters, oh, we didn't realize that Joanne Chesimard was a Assata Shakur. Well, I'll give them that. Okay, you didn't know. Okay, you didn't realize it was the same person. But how many black women are in exile in Cuba. You know? And if you didn't know, why didn't you? That's even worse. You know? But I'm saying every time, you know, certain people run for office, we get tricked into thinking, well, you know, they're a good person. They're really going to make a difference. I mean, when people ask me about Obama, you know, was talking about, you know, this black man, he can make it the first black president. I say, yeah, that's what they said about good, the first black mayor. You know, I mean, I ain't impressed, you know. And we got to stop being tricked by these people and understand that our salvation, our freedom is not in this system. Ain't nobody going to give it to us or bring it to us. We have to do that for ourselves by making it a priority. You see, how can we think that our freedom and fighting for it and doing what's right to, you know, gain our freedom is a priority with somebody else when it ain't a priority with us? Because we are guilty of putting a whole lot of things before our freedom, over and above it. And until we start making the hard decisions and committing ourselves, hey, it ain't gonna happen, plain and simple. It's not even something you get involved in with an organization, you know, after work or after school or, you know, in your spare time as much as you can. It is a way of life. Revolution, fighting for your freedom, living your freedom, it's a way of life. It's not just something that you become involved in. It is your life, you know? And until we accept that and move with it, make it our priority, and do the work to make it real, make it happen, ain't no point complaining about it. You know, it's no point complaining about it or hallucinating that we're going to get it some other way. Just like when you're hungry, ain't no other solution for that hunger except to eat. You know, ain't no hallucinating about food going to fill your stomach. You know, you can sit there and look at a plate of food right there, you know, 24 hours. But if you don't make a move and get the food and eat it, you still going to be hungry. You know, hey, can't nobody do that for you. I can't eat food and fill your belly. Got to do that for yourself. Nobody else can do it either. And that's the bottom line. We are committed to fighting for ourselves and our family. We have demonstrated this for over 35 years now. We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. No matter what. Like I said, they ain't got enough of anything in this system, not even money and status and jobs. I mean, they've come at us with it all, but they ain't got enough of any of that to stop us from fighting for what we know is right. Because this system ain't got nothing that move once, but they can't live without anything that we believe in. You see, our belief, what we fight for, what we put priority on, they can't live without. The air that they must have to breathe, the water that they must have to drink, despite all of the champagne they might be able to afford. They got to have water. They can't live without the earth to feed them, or even the earth to walk on. You know, that's how we're coordinated with the earth. They can't live without that. And none of the inventions, you know, that this system have, that they promote so much as progress, they couldn't have any of it without coming to our belief first. Because everything coming from this system is rooted in life and what's alive. They can't have it without life. The cars that they want, they get it from the earth, get the metals from the earth, get the gas from the veins of mama, you know, to fuel these cars. You know, they can't have nothing without coming to life, to our belief first. And that's why we know we have won. We have won. Because we can live without everything that they're pushing. But they can't live without our belief. And anything you can't live without, which is life, mama nature, which is moves God, hey, you already won. You got it all. You know? So that's where the MOVE organization is coming from. And that's why we have not been defeated and will never be defeated. You know, I'm going to leave it at that because people, you know the truth when you hear it. And you know a trusting example when you see it. So the rest is up to you. Can't do nobody's work for them. Can't make you believe in what's right. Got to come to that on your own. I wasn't always here at that point, you know. Everybody got to get there as they can. So with that, all I can say is we love you all. We do what we do out of love, not hate. You know, we believe in family, in the family of life. And that's why we continue to work and put out information to people and set an example for people, to encourage people. So on the move, long live John Africa. Long live Mumia Abu-Jamal, Leonard Peltier, Marilyn Buck, Oscar Lopez Rivera, Yuki Kimura, all freedom fighters, all those who love freedom enough to fight for it. Dr. Matulu Shakur, Sundiata Akoli, you know, all freedom fighters, all those who love freedom, love life enough to fight for it. Long live Earth First, the Earth Liberation Front, the Animal Liberation Front. Long live all those who fight for life. Long live the spirit of resistance. Long live revolution and down with this rotten ass system. On the move.